It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, I'm your host, Scotty Myers. A ton of geeky stuff as New York Comic Con is going on as I record this. We're actually back to live cons, which is really cool. And I've seen some pictures from it, and there's been some really cool stuff happening at New York Comic Con. And of course, next week, from the day that I record this, is DC Fandome 2021, which we're going to get a ton of stuff there. That doesn't mean we haven't gotten any DC news, and we will get into that a little later on. I want to start with New York Comic Con because something really cool happened. They were going to have a panel on the new Ghostbusters movie. You know, just your typical, a little bit of promotion and that type of thing. And Ivan Reitman and his son Jason, they came out on stage and they had a little speech. And then they went, you know what, we think you've waited long enough. So here's the movie. And they just screened Ghostbusters Afterlife for the crowd, which is insane. Imagine you just thought, oh man, I'm going to see a panel on Ghostbusters, and you get to see the movie a little bit more than a month before it's released. Really, really cool. They did ask the crowd to not share anything. I haven't seen anything pop up online yet as far as spoilers or anything like that, but just a heads up, they could start to get out there. So if you want to go into Ghostbusters Afterlife fresh, just try to avoid all those spoilers that I'm sure are going to start to pop up. I mean, it happened, not that long ago, but yeah, they'll get there. Trust me. Sin City. We don't talk about that a lot. Frank Miller's not really doing anything in the world of Sin City, except he did do a one-off drawing called Nancy Callahan, I Love You, and sold it as an NFT and made bank. he set a record for creating a one-of-a-piece animated with sound piece and put it up for auction, 24-hour window, and the winning bid was $840,986.16, the most ever paid for a comic book art NFT. Absolutely crazy that it was that much. And the Sin City NFT is now the most expensive piece of art ever sold by Frank Miller, but there's claims like that his Dark Knight Returns cover is valued at like 1.3 to 1.6 million if he ever sold it. And if he ever made that an NFT, it would easily double the Sin City one, right? It would just be insane. But congrats to whoever won that, not only for winning a really cool piece of art, but for having that much fucking money. Good. I'm a little jealous. Disney continues to roll things out for their 50th anniversary. As I said, it's an 18-month anniversary. And the latest edition kicks off in about 10 days. It's the Genie Plus app. Now, this is going to help you in the parks if you're going to Disney at any time get the most out of your trip. Basically, it's going to kind of say like, hey, wait times are low on this ride. If you go to that, then you'll be able to go to this. It's going to help you plan your time a little bit more. The controversial part of the Disney Genie app is Genie Plus, which they used to go to the parks and used to be able to just go get fast passes, which were basically like tickets to let you kind of skip the line. And you could get three of them at a time. On the app, you could book them. You used to have to get paper fast passes, but once they went to an app, you could book them on the Disney app, and then you could show up between a certain window and you went in a shorter line. That's basically how it worked. Since the pandemic and the closure of the parks, since they've reopened, they have not had fast passes. And this is why. Because Genie Plus is a paid feature on the Disney app, the Disney Genie app, that allows you to have, they're no longer called fast passes, they're called lightning lanes, and it allows you to book one at a time throughout the day through a bevy of rides. But here's the kicker. It's not every ride. It's almost every ride, except for two in every park. Those are going to be individual lightning lanes that you pay. If you want to skip the line, you pay to skip the line. Is basically how it breaks down. And we now know what those individual lightning lane rides are going to be. So in Magic Kingdom, it's Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Space Mountain. At Epcot, it's Remy's Ratatouille Adventure and Frozen Ever After. Hollywood Studios, Rise of the Resistance, the Star Wars ride, and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And at Animal Kingdom, it's going to be Avatar, Flight of Passage, and Expedition Everest. So if you want to skip the line for those rides, you're going to pay anywhere between $7 and $15 per ride per person. If you want to skip the line, you don't have to. You can still stand there and be in the line. But the price is going to vary depending on how busy the parks are, obviously, right? So reports are saying that the Epcot Remy's Ratatouille Adventure is going to start at $9 on October 19th, bump up to $11 on the Saturday, whereas Rise of the Resistance is going to be $15 pretty much from the get-go, because that ride is ridiculous and honestly worth $15. I loved Rise of the Resistance. If you were stressed for time in the park and you were like, I really want to get on Rise of the Resistance, it's worth the $15. Now, if you've got a family of four, I don't know if it's worth $60. But if it's just you, or like, you know, you and somebody else, it's definitely worth $15 each, in my opinion. But this is a little bit, it's not a good look, really, in all honesty, for Disney, because it looks like they're just trying to gouge some money. Now, I will say, despite the cost of this, the Genie Plus that'll give you the lightning lane on all those other rides that you don't have to pay individually for is $15 a day per person. And again, that can add up depending on how big your party is, but it is still a fraction of the cost to get the Express Pass at Universal. That thing can be over $100 for the day, depending on the day and how busy they are and all that kind of stuff. So even though it is money that previously you didn't have to spend there, it's still, like I say, a fraction compared to some other parks in the area. But some hardcore Disney fans are not down with it. I'm kind of in between, you know, $15. Okay. If it starts to get too pricey, then I'll definitely be on the not cool path with everybody else. Switching to some franchise news, we'll start with Star Wars. Only a couple little things there in the world of Star Wars. Maz Kanata, who was, of course, in the prequels, had a great she was very like a mentor in a couple of the movies. She's being brought into the High Republic era of books and comic books that they're doing right now. So Maz was a very old character, so it's a character you can do that with. Her race, much like Yoda's race in that, tends to live a very long time. So, and she obviously had seen some shit based on the stuff she said especially in The Force Awakens. So it makes sense to bring her into the High Republic. And kind of back to Disney a little bit, but they did some early bookings for that Galactic Cruiser for like annual pass holders and D23 members and stuff. And apparently it was a bit of a mess. Apparently wait times were really long to try to get through. It has not been a smooth process, but that's why they do this for those people, is to work out the bugs. Us regular folks that don't have any of the special annual passes or anything like that, we can book the Galactic Cruiser starting October 28th. And that's also if you've got a crap ton of money, because it ain't cheap. Looks like fun, but not cheap. I really need a relative to die so I can go do that. I'm kidding. Maybe. Over to Marvel, Venom and Spidey crossover has been confirmed by Andy Serkis, the director of Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Now, this is a no-shit Sherlock kind of story, especially after Venom, Let There Be Carnage in the post-credits. I'm not going to give too much away, but basically it was leading down this road. So not really a shock here. I think Sony wants to fast-track this, though, and get it done as quickly as they can. There was a release from Marvel in India with release dates on it, and they may have just released the release date for Blade. We kind of didn't know when Blade was coming, and if this report is correct, we will see Blade, the new one, coming up October 7th, 2022. So basically a year away from Blade. My only hesitation with that is I don't even know that they're in production yet. You know, most of the time when the Marvel shows enter production, there's a big to-do. Haven't really heard that big to-do about Blade. So kind of take that with a grain of salt for now, but that would be great. October of next year for Blade. It seems like everyone is going to end up with a Marvel Disney Plus spinoff at this point. So out of WandaVision, you remember Monica Rambeau, apparently she is going to be getting her own Disney Plus series. That's the rumor out there. And then kind of the breakout character of WandaVision was Catherine Hahn and her role as Agatha Harkness. She has signed a deal with Marvel for a Disney Plus series, and apparently her deal also includes appearances in movies as well. So we're going to get a lot of Agatha Harkness over the next little bit, which is fine. She was good in the role. As long as she just doesn't sing that song every time she shows up, I'm okay with that. But yeah, we're going to get a lot more Agatha on the way. And I found this an interesting story. So Eternals will be coming out very, very soon. And an Oscar analyst said that Eternals was a long shot for Best Picture, which I found it odd that you had to say that. Like, superhero films in general are a long shot for any award, let alone Best Picture. And I know Eternals looks really good, but in the same breath, you could say Venom, Let There Be Carnage is a long shot for Best Picture. The Suicide Squad is a long shot for Best Picture. I don't think any of them are going to win it. So it seemed like a really weird thing. I have a feeling that analyst was like, if I mention a Marvel movie, more people will read my article. And you know what? I fell for it too, so he's not wrong. Let's switch over to DC. As I said, FanDome coming up October 16th. We will have coverage throughout the day when FanDome is happening, because there's going to be a shit ton coming out of FanDome. We're definitely getting a new Batman trailer. That has been confirmed, but I think we're going to get to see some Black Adam footage. We're probably going to get to see some Flash footage, maybe even some Aquaman stuff. And this is all coming from a new trailer that did drop some footage in it. We did see some new Peacemaker footage in there. We did see some Black Adam footage, even though it was just The Rock and a flash of lightning. It wasn't a whole lot, but it was something. So there's definitely going to be a ton unveiled at DC FanDome. But HBO Max jumped the gun a bit with Peacemaker. I didn't get this. So earlier this week, HBO Max just started dropping 1-minute teasers for all their big shows. So there's a 1-minute teaser for Game of Thrones, the prequel for that. Looks okay. The 1-minute teaser for Succession, season 3, whatever show. And then out of nowhere, oh, here's a 1-minute teaser for Peacemaker. And I was like, really? Okay, got my attention. I watched it, and it's really just a bunch of people sitting in a diner talking. It is funny. It does strike the same kind of chord and tone as the Suicide Squad. So if you liked the feel of that, this was a promising start for Peacemaker. But I have a feeling we'll see a whole lot more once we get in to DC FanDome. Now, a sequel that everybody's been anxious for is a sequel to Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. And it's kind of been rumored that they're going to do it. But Joaquin Phoenix gave a statement recently who said, I don't know. He said, from where we were shooting, we started to kind of think about it. He said, there's definitely some things we could do and explore further. But as to whether we actually will, I don't know. And then, he's in the past suggested that he's not entirely open to doing a sequel. So I'll be curious to see. Now, money definitely talks, and some rumors have said that Warner Brothers has offered Todd Phillips, the writer-director, upwards of $50 million for not one but two more Joker movies. So we shall see if we get a follow-up to that film. It was a great movie. I loved it, but I think it would have been just as good if it was Bob. I've said that before. It was just such a well-written character film that it didn't need to have the Joker, overlay, basically. It would have worked as anybody being someone that the system was just breaking down and obviously had some mental health issues. It was nice that it was Joker, but, I'm curious to see if they do a sequel, where they go with it. Because based on the timeline set up in that movie, he's easily mid-30s, early 30s in that film. Bruce Wayne looks to be about 6 when he meets him. So, by the time Batman becomes Batman, the Joker would be pushing 50. And I would hope a peak physically fit 22-year-old would beat up a 50-year-old skinny dude. So that's my major issue with it as a Joker film, but we'll see where they go with a sequel. I did mention DC Fandom. If you are a fan of Fortnite, you're going to want to kind of keep your eyes and ears open. Apparently, there's going to be a big Fortnite announcement at DC Fandom. I don't play Fortnite, but when I see the skins, my nephews play Fortnite, and they'll always show me the character skins, and some of them are badass. They really are. Some of them are really, really cool. It makes me want to play. I'm like, oh, I want to play as those characters. So we'll see what that announcement is. Ben Affleck was talking about his journey to The Flash and playing Batman again, and he praised it. He said he had a fun time shooting The Flash, which was different than his previous experience. And I think to that, he was talking to Joss Whedon's Justice League and everything Joss did. Definitely seemed to spoil the character for Ben. And that's when Ben started saying, ah, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. Then he got to come back with Zack Snyder, do some reshoots there. Then he got to go do this Flash movie. And it seems like his love of the character has been reinvigorated. You know, there were rumors floating around that in the Flash film, Ben's Batman was going to die. And now there are rumors floating that, no, you know what? That's not the case. That's not what's going to happen. Maybe that's because of Ben's kind of renewed interest in the character. They just thought, well, we might as well keep you around because you're a pretty badass Batman. So we'll have to see when the Flash hits theaters. James Gunn, the man behind the Suicide Squad, he's off to do Guardians of the Galaxy 3 right now. But he has confirmed on Twitter that after Guardians Volume 3, he is coming back to the DC Universe for a top secret project. We don't know what it is yet, but he has confirmed he's coming back to the world of DC. It'll be interesting to see what he's going to work on next, right? I don't think it's going to be a follow-up to Suicide Squad. I think he's going to go in a different direction. But yeah, it'll be super, super curious to see what's happening with him and the world of DC, because James Gunn definitely is a guy that has a vision. I hope they give him some really lighthearted characters to do. Like, I'd love to see him tackle Booster Gold or, you know, something like that, but we shall see what he has up his sleeve. And speaking of characters that could be tackled, I read this story and it kind of made me sad because usually, you know, you hear a story pitched and you're like, yeah, that could have been cool. This, I think, would have been amazing. So Mike Flanagan, the guy behind Haunting of Hill House, the latest one, Midnight Mass, which is on Netflix now, which if you haven't watched it, it is amazing. I really, really liked it. Apparently, he had a pitch meeting with DC and he pitched a Clayface standalone movie, and DC kind of turned him down. And I just sit there and I go, man, this guy, if you watch any of the Netflix horror that he's done, it's all been so good, right? Haunting of Hill House, The Bly Manor, Midnight Mass. This guy's got a really great track record of not only good horror, but good character development. And sometimes almost too much character development in a way. And Clayface is one of those characters that if you've read the comics and that there is depth to that character, you usually don't see that depth when he's been portrayed on video games or animated shows or anything like that. The Batman animated series did a pretty good job with him. But this is a character that could have his own film in much the same way as the Joker could, right? A lot of Batman's rogues gallery could have their own standalone films. Freeze would be great. You know, obviously Clayface, Penguin, like a lot of these people. So, you know, he also said he'd love to do Superman. And listen, Mike Flanagan, you've got my respect and your track record speaks for itself. So whatever the fuck you want to do, sure. And I'd love to have you involved in the DC universe. But someone at DC needs to call him up because he did say in the tweet that he's ready to go and do Clayface at any time. They need to reconsider this, even if it was just for HBO Max. Please, he's not, obviously not opposed to streaming services. Please make this happen. This sounds like such a perfect marriage of character and director. And you know what? Maybe if you're DC and you're like, you know, we just don't see that for Clayface, you know, I know you guys are working on a Justice League Dark thing with J.J. Abrams, but maybe we could spin off out of that and maybe give Mike Flanagan Constantine. Well, that'd be pretty good. Or Dead Man. Any of the kind of darker characters in the DC universe that lend themselves to a bit of a horror vibe. I think if we can get those in Mike Flanagan's hands, that's a solid idea. And I don't know why they said no. Please change your minds. Please. That will do it for this week. Don't forget, next week, DC Fandome. Keep your eyes here for podcast wrap-ups. I'm going to try to pop on and do some YouTube stuff. I'm still trying to get the hang of that. But we're going to get lots of info next week on a ton of DC properties, from comics to video games to movies to TV shows. We're going to be swimming in it next week. So make sure you're prepared for Fandome. And until we chat again, have a great week.